Harper's traveling this week, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Vacationing. I put a little note in there for you. I don't know. Actually, maybe that's the second show.
Oh, so Jason, big news. Big news. Coulson is using the script.
What? Right.
Yeah, I know. I probably screwed it up.
We just jumped the shark, I think.
you're probably going to say a bunch of stupid shit because I just... You read whatever I wrote in there, right?
Well, what did you put up there?
I don't know. I wrote your script for the second show.
Oh, okay.
So whatever I said, you'll read, right?
It's just mostly just angry muttering. No, I got... Yeah, we're good to go. He checked. He had not checked the script in 10 weeks. Or no, 10 weeks.
10 weeks, yeah.
That's why not I bad. We had I one. Thought it was... I thought it was way worse.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
it'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah, so just
prepare to... Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm going to be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined. Just prepare to...
With them. That train is off the track.
I feel like you can't just like jump through Neptune and be okay.
Just prepare to.
What the show needs is more dogs and bears and chickens and stuff.
Yeah, so just prepare to be a watch and unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Unbeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. Today is February 3rd. 2018, and this is episode 293, coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're going to discuss a 2-1 week for the Pacers, with two games against Charlotte and one against Memphis. Joining me are two of our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What is up, Undebeatables? Happy Groundhog Day. Happy Super Bowl Sunday. Hopefully you had a good time. Let's talk basketball.
From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles, John Coulson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? It is Thirsty Monday. You have definitely earned it.
Before we start the show, I just want to remind you that you can support us anytime you shop at Amazon. Just follow the link in the show notes or go to our website, theunbeatables.com, and follow the Amazon referral link before you do your shopping. Kick a few bucks our way. Coulson, what do you got for the boomerang this week?
The boomerang. So this week, James Harden had a 60-point triple-double. It's never happened in NBA history. Mm. And I immediately was like, well, somebody has had to have done that. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, Wilt Chamberlain led the league in assists one year. He also averaged 50 points a game one year. So how has this not ever happened before? And it led me down a rabbit hole of players who have scored 60 points in a game.
Mm.
Harden became the 25th player in NBA history to score 60 points in a game. I'm wondering if you guys want to go back and forth, see if you can list the other 24. So Harden is not an option.
Okay.
Don't pick him. I'm going to start with Joey.
Okay.
NBA history that has scored 60 points.
Wilt Chamberlain.
He scored 100 points in a game and is on this list 31 times. So, yeah, nice work. Jason.
Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant had 81 and over 60 several times. Nice work. Joey.
For some reason, Devin Booker.
Devin Booker, nice job. Last year he scored 70 in a game.
I'm going to go with the GOAT, Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan had 69 in a game and is also on this list multiple times. A lot of famous people on this list. You should...
Yeah, I'm sure. Larry Bird.
Larry Bird is on this list. Nice work. He had 60 in a game.
I'm going to go with Elgin Baylor.
Elgin Baylor all over this list. His highest scoring game was 71. Nice work.
Let's do Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson's not on this list.
Oh, no.
Oh, oh no. Jason, here's your chance to steal it.
Let's go with David Robinson.
David Robinson scored 71 in a game. I believe it was the last game of the season, so he could become the scoring champ that year.
Yeah, this whole team was in on it. Yeah, they just had him the ball
every time, and he got the scoring championship that year. David Thompson, number three on this list, was 73 points in a game. Pete Maravich had 68. Rick Barry had 64. A guy named Joe Foulkes, I've never heard of, had 63 in a game. Jerry West, George Gervin, Tracy McGrady, Carmelo Anthony had 62 in a game.
Wow.
Karl Malone, Shaq, LeBron, Bernard King, Tom Chambers, Allen Iverson, Gilbert Arenas, and Klay Thompson. So that rounds out your 25. So Harden joins an elite list and Joe Foulkes.
Ooh. And we just lost our Joe Foulkes listeners.
Nice work, team.
Congratulations, Jason, on your victory.
That's right. You're starting to pile those up, buddy.
Yeah.
After several technicality losses early on.
Yep. Well, and lots of boneheaded guesses.
You're going to start getting the MVP chance from the, from the listeners when you walk by.
Mm-hmm.
We have three games of Pacers basketball this week, two of them against the Hornets. The first one, Monday, January 29th. Hornets visit Indiana, come up short to the good guys, 105-96. Oladipo has a solid outing, dropping 25 points, and Miles Turner coming off the bench, put in 22. They were able to hold it together in the fourth and hang on for the win. Thursday, February 1st, Pacers started off the new month in style by squeaking out a win against one of the weakest teams in the league, 105-101 at home. Bogey has returned to his earlier form with 21 points and a heaping bowl of confidence. The rest of the team contributed pretty equally, and they outlasted Wayne Selden Jr. and Marc Gasol to take this one. Third game of the week, second one against the Hornets. It was Friday, February 2nd, and it looks like the Pacers may have done a little bit too much partying to celebrate Groundhog Day, and they dropped the rematch to Hornets, 133-126. Kemba Walker and Oladipo had a bit of a shootout. Walker won 41 points to Oladipo's 35. Batum was kind of dumb from the three-point line. Went 7-for-11 on that game. He got 31 points. Owen Charlotte put up 49 points in the first quarter. Pacers never recovered from that. Actually, no, they did better towards the end of the game, but not enough.
Yeah, they totally recovered. Didn't we take the lead at some point?
We tied it at 82.
We at least tied it.
Yeah, mid-third. Yeah. And then Kemba took over.
Well, I would like to take special credit for this week's performances by one Miles Turner for last week questioning whether or not he should be in the starting lineup, and he clearly listens to the show like all these guys do and said, oh, yeah? Let me just start draining three-pointers and playing like a beast and blocking shots left and right. And, kudos to him for that.
Well, you got the sense that he wanted to earn that spot back and not just, because you talked about he shouldn't lose his spot because he's been injured. But I think he took it as a challenge. Like, Sabonis has been playing great. I've got to go in. And I thought he was much more physical than he was before he left. This is the first. So the last two games we played, he recorded a double-double. This is the first time in his career that he's had back-to-back double-doubles. So,
wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
So, and you're right. In that Hornets game, man, he just could not miss. He was draining threes. All his long twos were going in. I mean, that was off the bench, but he's looked great.
Yeah, and I mean, not against soft competition either, right? I mean, played against Dwight Howard twice, basically, and Mark Gasol and the Grizzlies, and held his own. You know, like you said, getting double-doubles and crashing the glass. You know, he really excels in that matchup against Howard, because Howard has no desire to get outside of the paint. And so Turner can just get wide open jump shots on that pick and pop with he and Oladipo or Collison or whoever. Yeah, I thought this was a good week of Pacers basketball. I thought that the win against Charlotte was a really professional win. That was a team that came to town and has not been playing good basketball. And though they have good guys, you know, so Kemba Walker is dynamic. Nick Batum was on fire in that game as well. Joey, he hit five threes, I think, in that one. And Howard causes us, you know, for a team that can't rebound the basketball anytime Dwight Howard's around, it's going to cause problems. And I thought that the guys just gutted that one out. It was back and forth until the midway through the fourth quarter, and then the Pacers just pulled away. I thought we just out-executed them in that
game. That's part of what made it a professional win in my mind. You know, like we've been talking about not bringing the energy in the first quarter, and I really, you know, my note here was our starting out the game, we had good defensive intensity. And we just played a solid game and wore them down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we were putting Howard in the ringer between, you know, our pick and roll with Sabonis and the pick and pop with Turner. I mean, he didn't know what to do with us defensively, which was really cool. But yeah, that was just, I was really pleased with that. I felt like that was a step towards something, you know, that these guys are figuring out how to just go out and win basketball games.
Yeah, and I think the same was true for the Memphis game. I think they came out underestimating the Grizz, so the Grizz have been not good. You know, we talked about last week, Conley is shelved, and they have now put Tyreke Evans on ice. Basically, they're going to deal him to whoever is willing to give them the highest draft pick, and so they don't want him to get hurt, basically, between now and whenever that happens. But that being said, I thought that the Pacers, again, down the stretch, you know, made enough plays and executed well enough in the fourth quarter to gut out a win, you know, hit some big shots. I think Turner hit a big shot, if I'm remembering correctly.
He did. He also hit the clutch free throws at the very end of it, which is great experience for the young kid. I mean, you know.
Yep.
That was a great game. My notes are, how is this game so close? You know, because I really felt like we were bringing the defensive intensity. We were matching their physicality. I mean, they beat us up on the boards, and that's something that always happens with us. But Gasol was hitting big shots and keeping them in it. He seemed to hit timely shots. I just didn't understand why they wouldn't go away. But you're right. We figured out a way to win, and that's just a sign of maturity.
Yeah, I thought what. One thing that was interesting this week was the first game against Charlotte. Bogdanović had just 0 points on 0-3 shooting in 24 minutes. And then he did respond nicely in the second game against Memphis, 21 points in that game. And, you know, he got the post-game interview, and he just he seemed really, really confident. And I think he was, you know, he's quick to shoot. He felt good that game. And, you know, I kind of think he's been off recently shooting-wise, and he's not really been contributing very much. So it's nice to have him kind of hitting when on a night that everybody else was not against, you know, a team that has not been great. And then, yeah, like they're some of their best players are done for the season. So, but I think those games are kind of traps to lose. But, you know, we pulled it out. We had, you know, seven guys in double figures that game. So kind of some nice contributions from a lot of players. And I thought Stevenson has done a pretty good job this week, bringing energy and getting some nice key offensive fouls, just barreling into people.
Yeah, no, Lance has been, he's been great. You're right. Bogdanović played well in the last game as well, against, at Charlotte. That, I guess everybody played pretty well offensively that game. You score 124 points or whatever we did. Nate McMillan was out this game for personal reasons. And so Dan Burke got his first start as a head coach in his career. He's been an assistant coach for 20 years. This is his first time to be the head coach in a game. And I'm sure this is not how he wanted it to go. giving up a franchise record 49 points in the first quarter. That's outstanding. I mean, a team has to be hot, but you can't guard them. I mean, that's like layup lines. Like, and you can't allow that to happen. You just have to play some modicum of defense. I felt like the first two games this week, you know, because I've been paying attention to it after we talked last week, Jason, about, you know, our defensive numbers are getting better. And so I've been trying to, like,
yep,
you know, whether it meets the eye test. And I really felt like the first two games this week we did. Like, we're sometimes gamble too much. But I thought our defensive energy was solid. I mean, usually when the other team scored, it was, you know, a late shot clock breakdown. But we were taking away the first or second action on every, you know, on half court stuff. And I was pleased with the energy. And I was thinking, hey, this is, you know, we're getting somewhere. And then to just this stinker in Charlotte. I mean, you're right, they have talented players, but this isn't Golden State. They put up 135 on us?
Yeah, 133. But
133?
Yeah, I don't know. I tuned in around the beginning of the second half, so I didn't see the debacle that was the first quarter. So I can't comment on specific issue was.
Let me let you know, it was wide open shots. I mean, there was just nobody had the energy.
So it was just lackadaisical defense.
Oh, my God, okay. Yeah. It was, nobody had, you know, even want to put a hand in a guy's face. Like, it was, yes, you know, a team can be that hot for sure. Sometimes that happens. But, I mean, I think Cody Zeller off the bench was the first one to miss a shot for them in the quarter. Like, they just hit everything. And part of that is we didn't have anybody in their face at all.
Hmm.
So that's frustrating.
So is this – are you going to submit this tape to the league office along with your letter recommending Nate McMillan for Coach of the Year?
I think it does.
Because in his absence, we can't even play basketball.
I think that's the case. Yeah, okay. There you go.
Shout out to Dan Burke. He must have been pulling his hair out in the first. I mean, I guess he doesn't have any hair, but
that's why.
Whatever he has left.
What else did we see this week? Any trends? Oladipo was okay. You know, I thought we won two of those games, and I don't think Oladipo had the best week out there. The game, actually, his best game, we lost that game. It's nice to be able to pick up some W's when your best player is not in peak form.
Well, I thought another issue in this Charlotte game was that Sabonis had his first off game in a long time. You know, he got in foul trouble and wasn't real effective. He only was able to play 16 minutes. And he's been a real big part of us playing well. And the combination of Turner Sabonis at the center spot has been really effective this week. And, you know, when he didn't, without his A game, I think we lost something there. I mean, other guys stepped up, but there's, you know, we had, whatever, six guys in double figure scoring. I guess scoring the basketball was not the problem, so.
Yeah, indeed. I think the other trend, which we've touched on a little bit, but I want to give him some more love, is sort of the defensive effort that Thaddeus Young has been bringing over the past 3 or 4 weeks, basically, has just been phenomenal. I mean, there were several times where he, you know, he gets himself a little bit out of position, but he recovers so well that he cuts off a lot of drives to the basket. And he, for the most part, is defending the most lethal big guy on the opposing team. So he spent a lot of time on Marc Gasol and Dwight Howard in these games, which frees up Turner to defend the rim and be more of a quarterback of the defense. You know, he's also been scoring in double figures, I think, pretty consistently, you know, just around the 10 or 11 point mark, but he's still chipping in on the offensive end, which is great. So shout out to that dude.
Shout out Courageous Heart. For me, this Charlotte game was a little disheartening. I mean, I was looking back at the schedule. There aren't very many games that we've lost this season that you really want back. You know, like, I feel like we've done a great job of beating the teams we should. And, you know, I mean, there's the New Orleans game at home, but, you know, those two big guys, we struggle with big men, and they've got two all-stars on their team, and that one got away from us. There was the Mavs game at home, but we were without Oladipo. There was when we were at the Bulls, and that was when the Bulls were playing really well, and also we were out without Oladipo. That Lakers game, which was a back-to-back and sort of inexplicable. And then this, like, I mean, that's not very many games that you wish you had back. The last two seasons, you know, we kept being like, oh, we're going to regret losing this game to this team because we're not going to make the playoffs because of it.
Right.
I know it was on the road, but I felt like this is a game we should have won. We could beat this team. We're better than this team. And so it was frustrating. You got to, you know, but, again, it's encouraging that it's such a short list. And, you know, it's a long NBA season and this stuff happens. Losing to Charlotte at their house by 7 is not a big deal. I just think the way it happened was discouraging.
Well, you could flip it the other way and say that the fact that we rallied back into that game is a positive thing, right? Got it to a point where we were tied. What I worry about is, you know, tonight, so we're recording this on Saturday. And tonight we're playing Philly on the second night of a back-to-back, and I do worry that we expended so much energy getting back into that game that we might come out flat tonight against Philly, who is a beatable team, and also on the second night of a back-to-back, and I think their fourth game in 5 nights or something like that, or maybe 5th and 7 even or something. So a team that we should take care of business against.
Yeah, we need to. I mean, we're ahead of them in the standings by like 2 games or something like that. You gotta win those games for playoff positioning. So,
yep. And coming up this week, more games that we should try to win that are winnable. Monday, the Pacers host the Washington Wizards, who weirdly have been on a 3-game win streak since John Wall went out. Wednesday at the New Orleans Pelicans, Friday at Boston, who are new and improved with Greg Monroe, and then Sunday home to the New York Knickerbockers.
All right, so that feels like a winnable week.
Sure.
Boston's going to be tough.
You can chalk that one up.
Yeah, but we need to win. This is an important game tonight. We need to win this one. Also, fun fact: last Saturday night game at the Fieldhouse, and second to last back to back for the rest of the season.
Wow!
Really? Wow!
Yeah, we only have one more back to back, so that's, you know, that bodes well for what becomes an increasingly difficult schedule. As far as teams we're playing, but at least we'll have time. March is a very rough month, but at least there's games in between, or days in between the games.
Sure. Cool. Well, that should just eliminate some excuses.
as the season goes on. Yeah, it's we got about 2 weeks left to the All-Star break. Yep. And then it's crunch time. We got to move our way up to the, what do we decide, the second or third spot we were going for?
I mean we are, as of today, I think we're 2 games out of first and two games out of fourth and 2 games out of eighth. So we're all jammed up right now. Detroit, we'll talk about this next week. Detroit, who's in the ninth spot, just made a big trade for Blake Griffin. So we'll see what happens with them. But they could try to make themselves back in the playoffs as well. So, you know, we are in danger of falling out of this thing if we don't keep playing solid. But, you know, we continue to surprise me with our ability to win the games we should. And if we can do that, I think we'll be in the playoffs. So
you're surprised by the ability for us to win the games we should? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I really am. I mean, I'm just, like I said, we've been trained over the last 2 or 3 seasons to just assume you're going to drop a game you shouldn't every 2 weeks. And this team doesn't really seem to do it. So, I mean, I was just, like I said, I went back and looked at the schedule to see if there was going to be losses that we would regret, and there weren't that many. And so this is great. Go Pacers!
Yeah. I like your optimism.
Yeah.
Well, until our show on Thursday, we'd like to thank you for listening. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Our website is TheUndebeatables.com. There's a contact form there. You can send us all a message, and you can send us an email if you're old school. A shout out at TheUndebeatables.com. You can review us in iTunes. That really helps new listeners find our show. And wherever you listen to it, spread the word. And we've also got t-shirts for sale. It's on the website/store.
For a once and always coach, Bobby Slick Leonard. Turn out the lights, the party's over.
Is Slick back from his ice fall?
No.
I actually just listened to an interview with Mark Boyle, and they said he'd visited him, and he's recovering, but I think they were trying to – they're hoping in a couple weeks he might be able to get back into the office.
Sweet. He's just reserving his energy for the playoff run.
Deep playoff run.
That's right. He knows we're going to be playing into May, so he's got to – get healthy.
There's no reason to rush him back, you know. There's it's a long postseason, you know. It's a long game of playing here.
That's right. Get well soon.